Throughout the month of October, our theme has been growing through giving. And each Sunday, we've looked at a question and seeking to learn the answer to the question, not just from what Ricky thinks, although I like what I think, but more importantly, what does Jesus think? What is the answer to the question from Jesus' perspective? And so we started 2 weeks ago with the question of, should we tithe? And if you were here with us, I hope that you remember the phrase that I wanted you to learn, that rather than the exact percentage or the exact amount, what God asks of us is to give God our first and our best. Our first and our best. So whatever that is for you, and that's going to change throughout your life, but give to God first and give to God the best that you have. The second week, we looked at the question of, should we save? The story from Jesus' parable about the wealthy farmer who had a really great harvest, and so he knocked down his barn and built a bigger barn so he could store all of his stuff. And some of you came up to me afterwards and confessed that you perhaps have a little of that in you, right? You like to collect stuff. We're all guilty of that and wanted to hoard our things. But that wasn't the point. The point was that the man forgot to thank God for his blessings, and he forgot to share out of his abundance, and he kept it all to himself because he forgot from whom the blessing came. And so last week, in addition to giving to God your first and your best, I asked you to give to remember. So should you save? Yes, but you should save and then give to remember. When you look at all that you have, give to remember who gave it to you. Today, however, we're going to answer a question which may seem odd in a stewardship series, and that's to answer the question of, should we pay taxes? Now, by a show of hands, have you paid your taxes? No, I'm kidding. No, let's not do that. But Jesus has a question asked of him one day about taxes. And his response is not just about teaching us whether or not we should pay taxes, but teaching us something deeply about what we are called to do with our lives. So I want to read you the story. It comes from Matthew chapter 22, verses 15 through 22. Hear this word from God. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap him in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth, and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. And then he said to them, "Whose head is this, and whose title?" And they answered, "The emperor's." And so he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his holy word. Amen. So, Jesus, should we pay our taxes? Now, before we hear Jesus' answer, I have to spend a few moments to tell you how odd it is that the Pharisees and the Herodians have come to ask Jesus this question. Now, I know some of you have probably heard of Pharisees before, because they show up all over the place in the New Testament. The Pharisees are a religious, political group in Jesus' time, and they are experts in the law of God. And they are constantly coming to Jesus to try to test him on some subject of the law. And they're trying to trip him up because they really don't like Jesus. But there's someone they don't like even more than how much they don't like Jesus, and that is the Herodians. Now, the Herodians are a political party in ancient Israel who are supporters of King Herod. And King Herod was an evil tyrant, and he had usurped his way to the throne. He was not God's appointed king. He was a puppet of the Roman state, and most of the Jews in Jesus' day didn't like King Herod, but the Herodians were kind of his political party. They were his supporters, his most vocal supporters in the streets, and the Pharisees hated the Herodians. And so it is telling that they come together to conspire to entrap Jesus in a legal question, because they both see in Jesus a threat, one to their own power, and another a threat to their interpretation of God's law. And Jesus sees right through it, right? Because when two different groups of people that you know hate each other come to ask you a question, do you feel like maybe they don't have the best interests at heart? And so they butter him up. Did you notice that? They say, "Jesus, we know that you are an amazing teacher. You are sincere. You know the law. You pay, you don't treat anybody differently. You treat everybody the same. Jesus, you are wonderful." Now, here's just free advice. If someone is going to butter you up like that before they ask you a question, be careful, because they may not have your best interest at heart. And they ask this seemingly just benign question, right? Should we pay taxes? Should we pay taxes? Now, how many of you are up to date on your Roman tax law? No one? No one? All right. Good. So this next slide will be news to you. There were three taxes in ancient Rome that you were required to pay, whether or not you're a Roman citizen or not. The first was property tax. Every person living in the empire had to pay one-tenth of their property to the empire. And so if you made wine, every year you had to give a tenth of your wine to the empire. If you grew wheat, every year you had to give a tenth of your wheat to the empire. If you couldn't give the goods, you could convert it to money and just give the equivalent of the money to the tax. It's a property tax. Every ancient empire and every modern country has property taxes, right? No big deal, just what it is. The second tax was an income tax. You had to give 1% of your income every year to Rome. So however much you made in a year, in addition to any property tax you paid, you had a 1% income tax. Now some of you out there are thinking, well, 1%? Sign me up, I'll do 1%, right? And again, this wasn't a big deal in the sense that every empire had an income tax. And so 1% was acceptable. It was the third tax, however, that people got very mad about. It was a census tax. Every person in the empire between the age of 12 and 65 had to pay one denarius a year for being alive. Now, one denarius is not a lot of money, but it's the principle of the thing. You've taxed my property, my income, and now you're taxing my breath. I've got to pay you one denarius for the air that I'm breathing. And in Jesus' day, there is a huge debate going on of whether or not faithful Jews should pay that one denarius tax, because it flew all over their identity or their idea of the world and who they were in relationship to the world and what they should do. But here's the thing. Not paying your tax or inciting people or telling other people not to pay their tax, that was a crime in the Roman Empire, punishable by death. If you told someone to not pay their tax, the empire could crucify you. Now, the Pharisees and the Herodians think they've got Jesus in a trap, because he's been teaching for weeks in Jerusalem about giving your life to God and being faithful to him only, and to not put your trust in the empire. And he's begun to get this great following. And they're asking him a question: should we pay the tax? If he says, no, don't pay the tax, then he's committing a crime, punishable by death. And if he says, yes, pay the tax, then he's turning his back on all of his people and all of this teaching that his very ministry is built on, that our allegiance is not to Rome, but to God who gave us our breath. So they think they've got him right where they want him. Jesus, should we pay a tax? Now, Jesus, like he always does, doesn't answer the question. Instead, he asks the question. Show me the coin so that I will give you the answer. And so they pull out a denarius and hand it to him. And he asks, whose head is on the coin? And what are these words written on there? And so that's the coin they're looking at right there in the middle of the temple courtyard. They're looking at that coin that you're looking at right now. It's a picture of Emperor Tiberius. And around the emperor's head, both on the side that you look and on the obverse, the other side that you don't see, are written these Latin words: Tiberius Caesar, Augustus Filius Divinius Augustus, Pontifex Maximus. Any Latin scholars out there? No? Okay, good. This makes me feel good that I can teach you this. Those words say, this is Tiberius Caesar, the honorable son of the divine Augustus and our high priest. Now, quite simply, these words that claim that the emperor is God, they're blasphemous. To the faithful Jew of Jesus' day, having this coin in itself is a blasphemous image. Having someone else claim to be God and to claim his title on you is blasphemous. In fact, it was against the law of Israel to have this coin in the temple courtyard. It's why there are money changers in the temple's precincts during the Passover. That whole story is about because you can't bring the Roman currency into the temple. You have to change it out because it is blasphemous. It is offensive to God to bring this coin into the temple. Everybody knew that. It was against God's law. No one would be foolish enough to do that. And did you notice what just happened in the story? Jesus said, you're asking me about this tax? I don't have the coin on me. Mr. Pharisee, do you? And one of the guys said, oh yeah, I got one. Hold on. Here you go. Can you imagine the other Pharisees looking at their friend? Did you just bring that in here? Did you just show Jesus that you brought that in here? And I can imagine Jesus getting a little smile on his face when he catches them in their own hypocrisy. If it's so big of a deal for you to not break the law, look at yourself before you look at us. And so Jesus looks at this coin and he looks at the Pharisees and the Herodians and he says, well, that coin has the emperor's face on it. That bears the emperor's image. So I guess you better give it back to the emperor. But there are things in this life that bear God's image. And those things belong to God. And that's, I think, the answer to should you pay tax. It's about whose image do you bear. You see, in other words, this coin bears the image of the emperor, so you can give it to him. But if something bears the image of God, that thing belongs to God. And I imagine those Pharisees, maybe some of the Herodians, but definitely those other people who had assembled at the temple to hear Jesus preach, they might have thought of that very familiar passage from Genesis chapter 1. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image." You see, friends, you and me, we bear the image of God. God created us. God made us. And I can't explain it to you, and I can't draw you a picture, but I believe it with every fiber of my being that something about you looks like God. And something about us together looks like God. We bear the image of the God who made us. Which means we belong to God. My favorite line is at the end of the story, they said, "When they heard this, they were amazed and they left." Because they knew that Jesus had caught them in their own trap. Because they knew they bore God's image. And sometimes when you are reminded that you bear the image of God, you realize all the other stuff you've been worried about or focused about or upset about, it kind of pales in comparison to walking around with the image of God stamped on you. Now, I don't have much to add to Rabbi Jesus here, except to offer these two final reflections for you who bear the image of God. If you bear the image of God, then you are, in some ways, God's currency. You are little coins bearing the image of God, and God wants to spend you. God wants to use you in ways that are unique to the way that God fashioned you. But friends, I believe it. God wants to use you and spend you in this world to share God's love, to share God's name, to bear God's image. Whether it's teaching Sunday school or serving in a mission trip or being a light, an inspiration, a person of integrity, authenticity, and love in your workplace or in your school, God needs you and wants to spend you. Because you bear that image. And you belong to God. And so pay up. But the second thing that I have to do, and I know it's going to sound like, well, you're the preacher, and so you've got to talk about the money thing, but here's the thing. You may sit there and think, well, good thing is my money has a U.S. government stamped on it, so I guess I don't need to give it to the church. Here's the thing, friends. Money's just paper that somebody gave you for doing stuff. Your work, your life, your creativity, whatever you do to earn money, it's just paper that someone gave you for the stuff that you do. And do you know who made you and gave you the ability to do all those things? God. Money is just what we give each other for the fruit of our labor, and God is the author of that labor. So God kind of owns the money too. And here's the thing. God really doesn't need the paper money. What God needs is you to understand that you bear His image. And He simply wants you to share that image with the world. To bear that image into the world. That others might hear that they too bear the image of the God who made them. And wants them to know how much they are loved by Him as well. Here at the church, that money helps us do that. But the best churches use that money to help their church members, their image bearers, serve in the world and therefore share the image of God. So, I do want you to give your first and your best to God. I do want you to give to remember. But also, I want you to know that you who bear the image of God, I want you to spend yourselves in God's world, to offer yourself in ways that God will use you to share His love to this world. Now, should you pay your tax? Probably. But in addition to that, you should spend your life serving and bearing and loving because you belong to God. And that is worth everything. Let's pray. Eternal God, we are grateful for all that You've given to us. This life that we have, the breath that we breathe, all of it is a gift from You. The labor of our hands, the ways You've gifted us and designed us, the work that we offer, all of that is a gift. We're grateful. But most importantly, we are grateful that You have stamped within us Your own image. And we pray that You would use us, use our lives, that we might share Your image to this world. The image of a Father who loves us unconditionally. The image of a Son who offers His life for the ransom of others. The image of a Spirit that brings us joy and hope and life eternal. Because we bear Your image, we belong to You and we belong to one another. And so send us out into Your world to bear that image to everyone we meet. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My sisters and brothers, as we go forth, I want you to look around. Look around and see the faces of those who bear the image of God. See the faces of those for whom God gave His Son. And see the faces that God is expecting to go forth from this place to share the love of His Son, to bear the image of the Father. But the good news is you go in the strength of the Spirit to be image bearers of a God who loves this world. So go forth to love and serve the Lord. Amen.